Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
University of Oregon women's basketball team beat Oregon State on Friday, beat Oregon State on Sunday. Sunday's game came with some horrific news, right, in the run-up to warm-ups. Kelly Graves, the Oregon women's basketball coach, is joining us now. How are you, man?
John, I'm doing good today. Thank you. It was quite a weekend in many different aspects.
I saw you as you arrived on yesterday, and I got the impression as you guys walked by me that you didn't yet know or you hadn't heard anything. Everybody seemed to be in good spirits. When did you guys find out about Kobe and the helicopter?
Well, I actually, as soon as we dropped all our stuff off, I actually walked up onto the court, as I always do. It's kind of a pregame ritual long before, you know, any of the players are up there. And Debbie Antonelli and Beth Mowins came over. They were the two that did the TV game for ESPN. And I rushed immediately down to the locker room, hoping that you know, hadn't gotten to the team yet, because I know one person in particular was going to take it really hard. And so I got there too late. You know, a couple of my players were checking their phones one last minute or one last time before they went up. I don't know, but they saw it, and the news spread in the locker room.
That conversation that you have to have, because I know that, you know, most of coaching probably isn't X's and O's. It's teaching, and it's, you know, being a father figure, and it's you know, trying to make sense of things sometimes that don't make sense. Did you pull them together at that point and say a few words, or how do you handle that?
Yeah, well, we did. They were all trying to comfort each other. I think they were only, by that point, maybe one or two up on the court. I don't think they knew. But, yeah, I think, like you eloquently put in your column yesterday, there's no real blueprint for something like this. So we just kind of did the best we could with the crisis management. I know a lot of people, John, are touched by Kobe. They respect him, and they, you know, he's done so much for women's sports and you know, and athletes and basketball. You know, he's really become an ambassador for the sport. And so I know he's touched a lot of people, but he was really touched our team. I mean, he was a Duck fan. His daughter, Gianna, was really, you know, close to our program. I know several of our players, you know, had personal relationships with Kobe and his family. And, you know, he'd been to several of our games. So we considered him part of our family, and especially Sabrina. You know, Sabrina and him, you know, corresponded several times a week. And he had become a real mentor for, you know, to her. So they all took it hard. There were a lot of tears in the locker room. The rest at some point, you know, did go up and warm up. Sabrina stayed downstairs until we had to come out for the game.
I've heard you talk about, you know, your conversations with Kobe, and I'm struck by that there was Kobe the basketball player, and there's Kobe the father and the husband. And can you speak a little bit about what you knew about him as a person away from basketball?
Yeah, and I think it was out there for everybody to see. And I think he, you know, I was never a Laker fan and never a huge Kobe fan. I always respected his game and hit the mentality with which he attacked the game and played. But I did not become a fan until after he or toward the end of his career, when I just admired how hard he continued to work and how he started to lead, you know, his team. He was more of a leader then. And then after, you know, he retired, just the way he, you know, just like he did on the basketball court, he attacked being a great father. And I just, you know, really respected that about him. And when we first met, you know, it was at the USC game down there last season, I was just amazed at how humble he was, how gracious he was, how intelligent he was. He spoke and took time with every single one of my players in that locker room, talking to them about their game that day and how they played and what he saw. And to me, that's amazing. I mean, that he had seen us just for the first time at that point and knew a lot about their games, but he took time to take pictures with each player, sign their shoes, you know, spend a few moments with each. He talked to the team as a whole. And I went away going, oh my God, this guy is so impressive. You would not know that he was one of the greatest players of all time. You know, just standing every for us because he just seemed like anybody else. And so every time I saw him and we talked last month, you know, I remember, you know, the last thing I said to him, I said, hey, listen, I just want you to know that I really appreciate you being a tremendous role model for my basketball team. And I said, and I just want you to know as a dad myself, how much it means to me that you're such a good dad. You can tell. And I said, that's your highest calling. And he agreed and we hugged each other and, you know, and he was swarmed by lots of people after that, but it was a nice moment. And I really appreciated that. And quite frankly, that's something, John, I'll remember forever.
Telly Graves with us, Oregon women's basketball coach. I know there were a lot of games played yesterday, but I don't know how many of them tipped off like an hour after the news was confirmed. And I thought that made it was a really different game. There was a fog over the game, and I don't mean it in a bad way. It was just there was a haze that was hanging over the arena. And I never really stopped thinking about it. I have to think, you know, after the game, I see Sabrina on the court. Her eyes are swollen. She's thanking little girls for coming to the game. I have never been more proud of both Oregon and Oregon State, who walked across and put their arms around your players.
Yeah, I thought that was really a special moment. I was downstairs at that time with Sabrina and her parents, and so I was not up there for that moment, but obviously saw the pictures and the video later. I think that's really neat. I think, you know, there's no question this is a rivalry. It was an amazing series, amazing two games between two really, really excellent basketball teams. But they're also young people. They're also, you know, there's a humanity about it that I think was really special. And I credit Oregon State because I think they were the ones that first reached out to our team. And so, you know, it just shows that we might be rivals on the court, but they can still come together at that moment. I know several of them are friends, played club ball together. And so it was really a nice moment. It was a surreal day all the way around. On a day we should have been so sky high after, you know, having won there for the first time in a long time. And, you know, that was a huge victory. It just was, it was hollow. You know, as you saw in my press conference, I took no joy in, you know, winning the game really, because there was something bigger that, you know, that happened that day.
As part of that circle, I thought, you know, one of the images that I'll never forget is Ruthie's in the circle and she's next to Aaliyah Goodman, who's one of Oregon State's better players. And Ruthie's got her head on Aaliyah's shoulder as they're praying. And even that, it gives me glassy eyes just talking about it.
Yeah, me too. It's been a struggle. I don't really get choked up on my pregame speech. I was, you know, on the verge of just completely breaking down the entire time. I am right now as we talk. You know, I did what I could. My assistant coach, Mark Campbell, stepped up after, and I thought he was impassioned, and I thought did a great job and brought it together and got us ready for the game, because after all, we still had to go out and play the game, and that was what was tough. There was every reason to not put everything into it, but at the same time, there was every reason to give it everything that they had. And I thought both teams did that yesterday. That was a well-played basketball game by both teams, an amazing atmosphere. And you know, I think it's a day that nobody involved will ever forget.
Kelly Graves with us, Oregon Ducks women's basketball coach. The second half of that game, something happened defensively in the third quarter specifically. Something happened with you guys. What were we seeing? Because Oregon State could not get a good shot.
Well, I thought you just saw a determined team, a team that that wanted to play like the champions that we are. One of the things we talked about at halftime was, hey, the tough part's behind us. You know, just being able to manage our emotions the way we did and hang in there in that first half. And then the second half, boy, I just defensive, it's as good an effort as I've ever had from any team that I've ever coached defensively. I just thought we put the clamps down and just, you know, I think our team did it for each other. They did it for Sabrina. I mean, they saw a sister that was hurting, and they just said, this is not going to happen today. We're going to go take this. And all that kind of sounds kind of cliche and, you know, whatever, but it really is the truth. I thought it was just a mindset in that second half that changed.
There was a focus to Sabrina after the game. Like, you know, I know you guys won the game, but I could see her, like, she was thanking those kids for being at the game and taking pictures, every single picture. There was a line of kids waiting to get photos with her. And I thought, gosh, if this is one day where Sabrina goes, I just don't have it in me that this would have been the day. Like, I think it said a lot about her to stay out there on the court and sort of mingle with the fans after the game.
That's who she is, John. That's the person I see each and every day. That's the person she is each and every day. In that moment to stay that poised, I think just shows what a great person she is. And also the way she competed yesterday, there's so much about Kobe's game that you can see in her game. And in the way they prepare and in the way they compete, you're seeing two of the greatest competitors ever in those two. So, yeah, and the ESPN got on and asked her a couple of questions. And I know there's some people saying that, you know, they shouldn't have done that, et cetera. We had that cleared. They ran that by us first. So, and she agreed to it. So, that was a mutual decision that was made.
I was really impressed with Megan Murphy Lopez, your director of operations. I was watching her as the news was breaking, and she was, you know, acting as a counselor. She was acting as an administrator. She was, hey, look, this isn't going to be a good scene. We're about to come up the stairwell, and we're going to walk right into an ESPN interview and a bunch of media standing there. And you guys rerouted, called an audible there. I was super impressed with her.
She was money yesterday. She earned her salary, no question about it. And, you know, one other group I want to give a shout out to, John, and that's the state troopers. I thought they handled it just as well, and they helped us every step of the way, and they were the ones that kind of made sure that we had a clear path going out onto the court and that, you know, we didn't see all the cameras, and then you walk right past the students and the band and everything. That would have been kind of a tough entrance. So, I thought and Oregon State staff as well, I thought everybody handled it great. And it just goes to show you, we can dislike each other on the court, but listen, we're all humans, and we're all, you know, we're trying to bring out the best in each other off the court. So I applaud Oregon State. You're not going to hear me do that too often, but but truly, they were a class outfit yesterday.
All right. Finally, we find out today that Portland is one of four finalists for the Women's Final Four in 2025-2026. It'll be Columbus, Phoenix, Tampa, Portland as the finalists. I got to think we're going to get one of those. What would a Final Four in this state mean?
Just got off the phone a few minutes ago with the head of the AP asking me why I thought Portland would be a great spot. Number one, we both know Portland's an amazing city. What an awesome vibe there. You know, it's a big, big-time place. It's a lot of fun. Fans would really enjoy it. The Moda Center is you know, as good as you can get in terms of an amazing arena. What I said was you have three of the best fan bases in the country there, three of the top 15 fan bases within a drive of Portland. You've got us, we're second in the nation, maybe now even first in the nation in attendance. Oregon State's always in the top 15. And then you have Gonzaga. So you've got basketball fans here in this region. And then obviously being the home of Nike, the American headquarters of Adidas, you know, I just think it's a no-brainer. And the fact that we haven't had a Final Four out in the West since Denver, and that was a long time ago, I think that's baloney. I think it's time they bring it back out West, and there's no better city than Portland. So I'll champion, you know, we had the regional there there last year and drew over 11,000 both games. People will come. This will be a great sight.
Kelly Graves, thank you for making time. I appreciate you, man.
You got it, John. Appreciate you too, buddy.
All right, there he is, Oregon women's basketball coach. I'll take your phone calls next. We have one line open, only one. Grab it, 503-417-7575. Want your phone calls, your reaction. That was great stuff with Kelly Graves, Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gianna, Gigi they called her, seven others in that helicopter pass away yesterday in that accident. Here's Kobe talking about Gianna. Love this.
Do you think your daughter might want to play in the WNBA?
She does for sure.
She does?
Like, I mean, this kid, man.
Wouldn't that be great?
Dude, man, I'm telling you. The best thing that happens is when we go out and fans will come up to me and she'll be standing next to me and they'll be like, hey, you got to have a boy. You and V got to have a boy, man. You got somebody carry on the tradition, the legacy. She's like, oi, I got this. You know, boy for that. I got you. Like, that's right. Yes, you do. You got this.
How old are the kids? Do you think your daughter?
There it is. Kobe talking about Gianna there. I love that. Let's go to the phone lines. Don's in Tiger. Don, what was your reaction?
Yeah, I was driving in the vehicle, my truck, and I heard barely on the radio, TMZ gave me a report that he had passed away, but somehow they said the report was his four daughters, and
yeah,
you know, it's like, you know, they got it wrong, but, you know, Kobe, I would agree with you, John. I respected his game, but I really liked him as a quality person after the game of basketball. I mean, he loved his retirement. He was so happy as a person. I think the weight of playing basketball was over, but he went into a different kind of realm of a lifestyle where people just loved him. And I just hope he accepted the Lord in his life, because we're all going to face that time where it's going to happen, and it's a personal thing, but it's going to happen where people are going to miss us, and they're going to wonder, you know, whether they did.
Yeah, it's interesting. I pulled a cut from an interview he did with Stephen A. Smith where he talked about his faith, and I will I'll try to dig that up, but I it sounded to me like he was a person of faith. Edgar's in Eugene. Edgar, go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, John.
You bet.
I grew up in Los Angeles, and I grew up a Laker fan. So it hurt less yesterday when I saw what happened. And to today, I woke up and I just saw a really, really bad dream. But alas, it's not. I just remember Kobe being bigger than the game itself. Yeah. I attribute him and the Lakers for those Lakers teams for getting me close with my current group of friends. You know, without him, I wouldn't have this great group of friends. And you know, I'm so in shock and awe. And it's just a small part of me wants to just not do anything for the whole day. But you know, it's not how it goes. And you know, I feel really bad for Vanessa. She lost not only her 13-year-old daughter, but also her husband, her first love, and you know, it's just a tough thing to take. And just seeing the the world's reaction to his death just shows you that he was more than a basketball player. He was a very great, great human being.
All right, thank you for that.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.